Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. I am GP. That is the Mammoth, so it must be the Alt Review Podcast. Welcome in, joining me, as always, Michael Latore from Corpus Christi, Texas. What's up?
I will have my revenge!
Holy shit, crap. Oh, you made me cuss, dude.
I will have my revenge.
What just happened right there? Like, you just decided you're just going to clip the audio right out the gate?
Yeah, you know why?
I don't even know what I did. Why are you going to get revenge on me?
Not on you, because I have jury duty tomorrow. And if anyone knows why I should not be selected for jury duty, they should look no further than this podcast and my behavior on it. And I will submit this as evidence.
Look, you won't even have this tomorrow. It won't be edited yet.
I mean, all the other episodes.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. You do like the shenanigans from time to time. Especially truth. That Grammys episode.
Yeah, truth.
All right, brother, tell us who we got on the line tonight.
Tonight we have from Seattle, Washington, guest directors, and we have Gary and Julie joining us on the phone. How are y'all doing tonight?
Hey, all right, guys.
Julie, great. How's it going?
Awesome. I just broke the music player over here, so I will be working on that momentarily before we get to the end of the podcast, but no worries. We're going to roll with this. So I've got the first question for you guys. Tell me a little bit about the music scene in Seattle and what you do to stand out.
Well, the music scene in Seattle is incredibly varied. There are so many bands here, a lot of different types, a lot of mini scenes around.
Yeah, it's hard to stand out other than just doing what you do and trying to find like-minded bands. There's a number of stylistic kind of cliques and audiences and that kind of a thing, so it's fairly spread out at this point in smaller clubs. It's kind of a hit and run with shows, but still there's a lot out there, and people are actively always looking for new places to play, so we get out there as much as we can and record as much as we can.
That's probably the best answer I've heard to that question. A lot of people have a lot of different things that they say that they do to stand out in their area, but you're the first time anybody's ever said, we're just us. We're just us.
Get out there and get in front of people.
Yeah.
Spread the word kind of thing. Come out.
Yeah, that's the best answer I've heard.
Supporting other local bands, too, is good to, you know, we try to, when we can, see other local band shows and support them, and that goes a long way to kind of making stuff happen.
Very cool. I like it. So you had mentioned studio work, so I wanted to ask you, do y'all have a preference between studio work or performing live?
I generally prefer studio work, but we've had a couple really fun live shows in a row, and I might be rethinking that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to say probably the same for me. I've enjoyed the recording a lot more, obviously, because you're got more of a hands-on control thing, but there's something about flying by the seat of your pants in front of people that sometimes things happen that you can never expect, so that's way cool, too, so...
Yeah, when you can pull it off, it's a lot of fun.
Hopefully, yeah.
Doesn't happen every time.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about the writing, recording, and promoting process for your EP, Dream the Currents?
For writing, we try to do a lot of stuff collaboratively, so we'll either just kind of jam together in the room, or people bring in little bits, but this EP was funny because Gary and I had each brought in like a couple of almost completely written songs, which is kind of unusual. It's just kind of weird that it happened that way. But the band, like, there's not one person who's really setting the, this is how it goes. The arrangements and stuff are still really, really collaborative, which is a lot of fun. Anything to add to that?
Yeah. Maybe we... we took, I don't know, 6-7 months, something like that, and had a bunch of jams and whittled it down, and then started to kind of build out songs from the stuff we thought all of a sudden just sounded beyond what either one of us would do. And then, as Julie said, there were a couple of individual type songs that we brought in. So, you know, always open to wherever the best idea comes. You never know. So it's good to have multiple kind of inputs when it comes to whittling down ideas, making songs, making things fit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, people will have input that, like, if I bring in a part, someone might think of something to go with that that I would never think of. And I love that. That's one of my favorite things about playing music with other people, is that thing that happens when two people put in an idea, put ideas in, instead of just one vision. So, and then for recording, we went to a place where we had just done some mixing previously, and we recorded the whole thing there, and it was a lot of fun. The engineer was super efficient and really fun, and had a good ear, and was great to work with. And it gave us a lot of time to do some experimenting on guitar sounds and harmonies and some different mixing kind of tricks, like stuff in the headphones and stuff, that we, kind of a treat to get to spend time on that stuff, because we worked pretty efficiently.
Basically, it was recorded over a weekend, like the basics part of it, and then we had scheduled another weekend to kind of do guitars and vocals. But before we went in, we had demoed out those stuff. So with that kind of in our back pockets, we kind of knew what we wanted, you know, for 75% of it. And then we just let the being there and the rest of it kind of happen as on the spot, you know, inspiration. And so, it worked out really well. Place called Earwig in Seattle. Don Falwell, check him out.
Yeah, he's been putting out a lot of good local stuff.
Very cool. So walking back a little bit to the writing process, what is y'all's favorite part about that? Because I know it looks a little bit different, and you all even just said that this process was a little bit different for you on your most recent EP compared to what you normally do. So what would you say is your favorite part about the writing process?
I think my favorite part, usually what happens, we get this germ of an idea that we know can be something, but we don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing that you kind of cannot force. It's going to be what it's going to be when it's going to be, unfortunately. So the pleasure, obviously, is all of a sudden something clicks and, you know, it becomes bigger than you thought, and kind of the vision is complete. I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's a situation that we haven't forced. It's just like there's a lot of different stylistic influences on everybody, and so sometimes they seep through more than not. So we're kind of all over the map, and we never quite know until the song's finished. And even at that point, it usually fits in its own unique slot. So that's the interesting part of it, for sure.
Sure. So you can really kind of take it anywhere from, and it may be completely different from what you started with that small nugget of an idea to the finished product.
Yeah, I don't think we approach this band as being in a sort of a stylistic rut or a certain fixed star. It's more the, you know, the ideas start to happen. And when the enthusiasm is there, then we know we're onto something, wherever that leads. And a lot of times it leads to some different places, which is great.
Yeah.
All right, the next question I have here for you, it's going to sound like I'm trying to trip you up, but I promise you I'm not.
Trip me up.
What we're trying to look for here is your guys' musical influences. So with that being said, if you're putting together a dream lineup that you are going to play on, who are you playing with?
Do we have to answer this one together, or should we answer it separately?
Your call.
Just as a band?
Yeah.
Just as a band?
Yeah, that's fine.
You could do your green. I'll do mine.
Okay, I'm gonna give you my list and let Gary think about his for a second.
Okay.
Because I kind of knew this was coming because I've listened to a few podcasts, so I had time to think about it.
So, nice. I like it.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a combination of bands that I would like to see as well as bands that I think would be a good fit with us. And the ones I came up with were, so a band I got introduced to a little late in the game, actually from Gary and our drummer Ryan, is the band Autolux. And I've never seen them live, but I would like them during their Future Perfect era. I would like to have play. I would like to have Neil Young and Crazy Horse from the Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere era, just for the great, like, two-guitar interaction. Sonic Youth from the Sister era. And then either opening or closing to wind things down, a set by Nick Drake.
I dig it. I especially love the Neil Young and Sonic Youth.
My list would be a little different, of course. I would prefer the Yardbirds.
Which Yardbirds?
The Yardbirds, the early Yardbirds. I know there's variations of the band, but it's an old band from the 1960s, which are amazing.
But Jimmy Page Yardbirds, Jeff Beck Yardbirds,
probably the Jeff Beck Yardbirds, hands down. Yeah, the Jeff Beck Yardbirds for sure.
Okay.
I would also like to have the Pretenders on board.
That barely missed my cut.
Oh, there you go.
But we're talking first two albums, Pretenders.
Yeah, I would.
Original lineup.
Yeah, would love to have. Yeah, the original.
Yeah,
absolutely, the originals. I'd have to definitely second the Neil Young, especially the Rust Never Sleeps era, just for the guitar glory. And as another pick, I would say maybe Drive Like Jehu, who I recently saw, and it kind of blew my head into a bunch of pieces. So, definitely super kinetic and super different, but super enjoyable.
I like this. This is good. This is, I definitely am digging the Yardbirds and the Neil Young. I think this gels all across. I think you could have these together, or you could have a whole festival lineup with these going. So this is great. I dig it.
Yeah, it's an excellent festival. I would attend.
Most definitely. our next to last question here, because Greg has one more for you, but do y'all have any upcoming projects or shows that you want fans to know about?
We've got a couple shows lined up. We've got a show, we're playing a newer place here in Seattle, this bar that opened up, I think, a couple years ago, called the Screwdriver Bar, and they're in a sort of a uptown from downtown area called Belltown, and they're a basement bar. You don't have a lot of those in Seattle. It's got a very New York kind of feel to it, and they started putting on shows, so I'm pretty excited about that, just like playing in a new place. It's a cool space. We're playing with a couple local bands that we're friends with and that we really like. Vibragon and Black Ferns, both like good like guitar bands, very vaguely shoegazy, but not really. So kind of like us, they're all on sort of the rock side of that that thing. And then we have nothing lined up all summer. We're really hoping to like do a lot of writing. And then in the beginning of fall, we're playing at this a local event called the Greenwood Music Crawl, which Greenwood is a neighborhood here in Seattle, and someone puts on this all-day event at a variety of clubs around the neighborhood, and you pay one price, and they have got, I don't know, like 30 or 40 bands playing throughout the course of the day, and sounds pretty cool. I haven't been. Our drummer went last year, and he said it was really cool, so we're doing that this year. And then, you know, after that, we're really hoping by the end of the year we've got, you know, songs under our belt that we're ready to talk about recording again.
I love it.
He loves hearing about new music that might be coming out. He loves it.
Yeah.
All right, last question we've got for you guys. Every week when we do an artist interview, we take a track of yours and we play it as our out music for the show. And the last question that we ask every artist that comes on is to tell us about that track. Tonight we chose your song Parachute On. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that track?
Sure. This is one of my two favorite tracks on the record, and part of the reason is because it is super collaborative. It was, I think, Gary started with like a sort of a main basic riff, and then we started playing along with it, and that first half of the song kind of came together pretty easily. And when we practice, we record everything just in case something magical happens. We want to remember what it is. And one time we were playing the song, and we were like, let's not stop at this point. Let's just keep playing and see what happens. And no one said to anyone else what they were going to play. And we ended up coming up with that outro almost exactly how we ended up recording it. It was just one of those really, really magical moments that can happen when you're creating with people. And so when I hear that song, every time I hear it, this, like, it reminds me of this very magical moment where we all just really synced up, and the stuff we played together worked really well, and it was the best of what we do, I think.
Everybody's locked in on that outro. Bass player, drummer, everybody just somehow that just fell out of the sky, and it was captured on tape, luckily, and we were able to go back and really kind of look at it and put it together. So, it does represent sort of the best of the band composition approach.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, for those of you listening to this, make sure you stick around to the end of the podcast. You will hear guest director's Parachute On in its entirety. Thank you guys so much for coming on, for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We appreciate it. We hope things continue to go great for you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you, dudes.
We hope things continue to go super great for you guys out there. Anything we can do for you, help spread the word as far east as we are, you don't hesitate to let us know.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, spread the word. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Have a great night.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, guest directors right here on the Alt Review podcast. That was a fun interview.
Yeah, they're good peoples.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking about not getting, before we started recording, we were talking about watching what we say, and then you made me cuss like before we even brought them on. Killing me, bro. Killing me.
Love it.
Killing me. Now I'm going to have to go beep that out.
Nah, you've had that word on here before.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I only have to beep out certain words. All right, yeah. Man, rolling on. We had four tracks that you listened to this week. I briefly listened to them. I think more so because you wanted to just put bullets in the gun for me, I think, is why you played them, to be honest with you. That's a terrible thing to say, but man, that one song. Woof.
Let's start with it.
All right. The very first song that he has on the list, Violent Femmes, Hotel Last Resort. What do you got?
Let me say this. I love the Violent Femmes. I love the Violent Femmes. But this song...
Bruh.
Damn.
Bruh.
Rough.
Yeah.
Doesn't even begin. I don't know what they're doing. There's no vision. Is it like an ode to like spaghetti Western music? Is it like, are they going for some kind of Western theme? Like, what the hell's happening? I don't understand it. And it's part of it's like got that Western feel to it, but then it doesn't, and then it picks up in a different way. And the lyrics are just, I'm going to say this, which this is never usually happens in Violent Femmes songs, but the lyrics are just straight basic. Like,
the best reaction I can give to you about this song is when you started playing it, I thought you were messing with me and just playing some random weird stuff you found somewhere. But then I actually heard the dude say Hotel Last Resort, and I was like, oh man, he ain't messing with me. That's real. He ain't messing with me.
And I went into this all excited because I was like, oh cool, new Violent Femmes music. And then when I started listening to it, I was like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty rough. What'd you give it on the rating?
I gave it like it's hard for me to even say a 2. Like 2, I guess, out of 5. They're playing instruments.
1.875.
I can deal with that.
He's breaking the rules, man. All right, next up we've got Bourbon House with Devil on My Heels.
Friends of the podcast, Bourbon House. I told them we were reviewing their track this week, and so they're really excited. I am also really excited because I was not disappointed by this track. It has a good blues guitar riff that you know I was absolutely digging, and Lacey's vocals were slamming on this song. It's killing it.
One of the highest compliments I've ever heard paid to a vocalist is that every single song, they bring it. All of it. They don't leave anything on the table. And that is the feel that I get from every Bourbon House song that I've listened to. Lacey just brings it.
It's true. And the music brings it with her, too. They bring the house every time. They don't play. They don't come with no, pardon my language, half-ass, like, attempt.
No.
There's none of this garbage. There's no filler songs. There's nothing. There's no transition songs. No 30-second clip of some sort of weird existential sounds that are playing. It's, you're getting straight rock and roll to your face.
Yeah.
Every song.
Yeah, they bring it. And it's... Yeah. Like, that's the highest compliment that I can pay, is that every single time out, you bring it all.
Yeah, I gave this one, like, a 4.5 out of 5. It was absolutely killer. Her vocals were freaking jamming in this track. The guitars were awesome. Loved the drums. And still, that bluesy guitar that they were playing with the slide, ooh, it was just... right up my alley.
Of the 4 songs, this is the only one that I decided I needed to put a number on because I gave it a 5.
There you go.
I had to. I had to put a number on that. This song was fantastic.
Love it.
All right, what do you got up next for me?
Oh, man. Another one of my favorites fails me. Morrissey of the Smiths fame. I Thought You Were Dead. I thought I was dead listening to this song because it was trifling. Like,
How do you really feel?
I'm just being, this is Morrissey. He's a big boy. He can take it. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on. They did this like weird part way through it where it was like a mariachi kind of deal with like some, I don't even know if that's the right word, what they were doing. There was some weird stylistic instrumentation that just didn't fit at all with what Morrissey was doing. And then the vocals in the chorus, he was mostly just saying like, oh, oh, and no, no. And I'm like, dude, don't tell me you rhyme an O with no.
Basic.
Like that's basic.
Basic
bro.
Rhyme schemes.
That's basic. Like, get the hell out of my house with that. You are freaking Morrissey, one of the greatest songwriters of all time, who I would put up there is pound for pound one of the best songwriters ever. And you're giving me, oh, oh, no, no. Nah, bro. No. You need to slow your roll.
Oh, oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no. Go back to the drawing board with that one, Moz, because that is weak.
What'd you give it?
Oh. This is probably the worst Morrissey or Smith song I've ever heard. I'm gonna give it a 2.
All right. What's up? What's up next?
Steph Chura, They'll Never. And so I actually dug this song. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of like a kick your teeth in right from the start. And Steph Chura is one that I'm a big fan of hers, and she's super cool and just totally brought it with this song. And I got what the song was about. Like, there was a thesis to the song. It's weird to say that with music, but like I understood where it was going. There was direction. It was like, this is what this song is about. This is what it's trying to accomplish. Here's where we're going. Here's the direction we're going in. Here's the hook. The hook makes sense. It has lyrics that aren't garbage. Like, I'm sitting here this week, I was like, is that too much to ask? Like,
they took you on a journey.
Yeah, like they took me on a journey, and I was digging it this time. Like, love the vocals in this song, and it was kind of cool to see her do some things that she doesn't normally do, which I thought was pretty cool. So getting it out of the comfort zone, and a little bit more upbeat, so that was cool. I was about it. I gave this one a 4 out of 5.
Cool. All right, that's all we have for you in reviews and recommendations. Sorry.
Morrissey, I'm disappointed.
Sorry we didn't have more sparkling reviews for you, but
I picked them with the best of intentions.
Listen, Bourbon House was strong enough for all of them.
Right. Watch us get into a flame war with Morrissey. Like, wouldn't that be amazing if we got into a flame war with Morrissey?
I mean,
he's just petty enough to do it too.
you did just set it all on fire. All right, for this week's feature of the week, we are going to do a little breakdown of the Austin City Limits lineup. Austin City Limits is October 4th through the 6th and 11th through the 13th. Don't let me maul this name, Zilker Park.
Yeah.
So I'm just making sure, like,
it
looked pretty simple, but I've seen stranger things happen. So let's break these down a little bit. We're going to talk about the headlines, the headliners, the mid card and the undercard. Let's go with the headliners first. What do you got?
So the headliners are Guns N' Roses, Mumford & Sons, Childish Gambino, The Cure, Cardi B for weekend one, Billie Eilish, Tame Impala, and Robin for weekend two. So those are who we got. Let's kind of, how are we going to break this down, I guess? You've kind of started to see a pattern form with Austin City Limits. So Guns N' Roses is the token, like, older band that can draw, the larger older crowd. So like they're kind of the role that Metallica played last year. So that's kind of their role. Mumford and Sons, they're on their comeback right now, you know, if you will, with Delta, their new album Delta. So they've been just doing a stadium tour. Childish Gambino was supposed to headline last year, but he stood him up and couldn't make it. So now he's doing it again this year.
Well, be gentle. I mean, I'm guessing it's not stood him up, because if he stood him up, wouldn't be on this. Wouldn't be on this one.
Oh yeah, I didn't mean like I didn't mean like left him hanging, but like he didn't come. He had to cancel. But my favorite get of the headliners is actually The Cure. I think that is, you know, one of alt's, you know, with The Cure, The Smiths, those two were kind of like the pillars of alt music in the 80s. And I just saw The Cure like 2 years ago. Bros can still play. They'll put on a 3-hour show that will knock the socks off of anybody out there, any young band. Robert Smith still has it, and he does not play. So I was really happy they got The Cure to play. Cardi B is not really my thing. I don't know about you.
I can't say what I said before we started recording. It wasn't anything disparaging Cardi B. It was just...
She has a song about eating people's butts.
Why do you make it hard for the guy that has to edit this? I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it in there. Keep going.
All right. I'm happy about Billie Eilish, because Billie Eilish is like, she's the rising star that they always get, because she's been hot lately.
Yeah, she's blowing up.
Yeah, she dropped her her new album, and it is on fire. So that's a big get for them. Tame Impala is also a big get for them, because he's still, you know, one of the biggest stars out there. He headlined Coachella. So he's not even like at, you know, the top of the list for the headliners, and he headlined Coachella, which is arguably a bigger festival than Austin City Limits. So that's pretty cool that they were able to do that. But, you know, Austin City Limits prides itself on being the biggest and the baddest. So, you know, there's kind of a peeing match there. And then Robin, Robin's a good get. I don't know that she's in the same class as some of these other artists. I think part of that's because she's kind of on the comeback here as well. She had taken a break for a while and just come back. So, but love her new album. So she's been really hot lately too. So I think that's kind of part of it. Her new album, I believe, was called Honey, and it has done really, 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 really well. So, overall, pretty happy with the headliners. You know, I don't know that Guns N' Roses, like, I don't see the Cure. Like, I don't know, like, you know how they had Paul McCartney last year in Metallica? Like, they didn't get a Paul McCartney level band, but I would say that The Cure is in pretty high esteem. They just made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I think that's kind of their answer to Paul McCartney this year, because they were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. So, much to Robert Smith's chagrin, because he's not really about that kind of stuff, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah, those are the headliners. Did you have any other thoughts on the headliners?
No, I mean, honestly, I think for me, just seeing, I mean, I kind of jokingly, I mess with my wife when, you know, when my two daughters start asking to listen to an artist, it typically, for me, I'm like, bah, because it's poppy, but I gotta be honest with you, I'm proud of my girls, because we got in the car the other day and I was flipping through, because like she just got that new car, so it's got the XM for a while, and I'm flipping through like a million radio stations trying to find something to listen to, and my daughter from the back goes, let's listen to Billie Eilish.
Yeah, you go.
And I kind of turn around and I looked and I'm like, I know she don't listen to the podcast. I wouldn't let her listen to the podcast just because of some of the stuff that might or might not be said. But, I mean, I was actually proud of her. I'm like, heck yeah, you go get you some alt.
Right. I dig it. I love it. That's cool. Want to go to the mid card?
Sure.
So, Casey Musgraves, that's kind of a get for the country fans and the crowd, not really necessarily an alt act.
Yeah, she's kind of blowing up on the country scene. I mean, at least up here.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, typically you guys are a little bit faster on that type of stuff in the South. Just typically from what I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's blown up here. Definitely is huge. The Reconters with Jack White, that's a big get. They haven't, they just reunited, so they're big.
They're going to release like a 2 7/8 inch
something
vinyl.
Don't get me started. I have like a, I don't know. They get on my nerves. not them. Jack White in particular. Jack White in particular gets on my nerves.
Who's up next, Mike?
Gary Clark Jr.
We're going to church.
Yeah, so I was excited. This one's cool because he's from Austin, so he's playing Austin City Limits. I'm sure that's incredibly, an awesome opportunity for him that he's got to be super excited about. So Gary Clark Jr., kind of surprised he's not up there with the near the headliners. He's been blowing up lately. So, that's just my suggestion, though. Tom York in Tomorrow's Modern Boxes, I don't know, that's his new solo, like he plays solos with different bands, so Tom York of Radiohead fame, obviously, that's a big get, and I'm surprised he's down as far on the lineup as he is, but yeah, Tom York, fantastic performer, and Radiohead headlined Austin City Limits and one of the best performances of all time. So King Princess is playing. They're pretty good. Definitely good get there. Third Eye Blind is another one that's playing. They'll bring people. Their people travel well. Jenny Lewis is another good get in the mid card there. So that's kind of the mid card area that, I think is pretty solid. Is it as solid as last year's? I don't think so. I think last year had, like, the headliners were rough and the undercard was amazing. This year, it's kind of like the headliners are really good and the undercard is struggling a little bit. Speaking of the undercard, the very, kind of at the lower rungs, the Kooks are going to be there I think just weekend one. Yeah, weekend one. Judah and the Lion. K-Flay. That's going to be good times.
Secret's going to be there.
Oh, Secret's going to be there too. Yeah. Secret, K-Flay, Camp, Mr. Wives. Let's see. Who else we got? Megan Thee Stallion. Cherry Glazer's good times. Cherry Glazer's going to be there. Sam Fender's fantastic. Wayus Blood is going to be there, who just came out with an awesome album. Julia Jacklin, who came out with an awesome album earlier this year, is going to be there as well. That's going to be a good show. Right now, Black Belt Eagle Scout that we had on the podcast is supporting Julia Jacklin. So that's pretty cool. So who else? I know there was someone else I wanted to point out. It was lower down on here, but I'm trying to find him. And Otis the Destroyer, that's who it was. Otis the Destroyer is there, and it goes. There's still some more. You can keep looking down through here. It's a pretty extensive lineup. We barely grazed just the top of it. But I would just tell you, one of the things with Austin City Limits is there's so much of it that you can't see it all. So, if you're interested in going this year, I think it's definitely a good year to go. Great headliners. And, bands like The Cure, like, not trying to say anything bad, but like, they're only going to be around for so long. So, you know, if you want to see them, and they don't tour very much. So if you want to see them, and, you know, this is a really good opportunity to do that. So think about that. I'm not a huge Guns N' Roses guy myself. I'm not really a big fan of their music, but that's definitely something that's a little unique because they hardly tour at all. So, you know, that could be a unique get if that's your deal. That's not necessarily my deal, but, you know, whatever tickles your fancy. But yeah, I would be there. I think that lineup is worth it.
Is there a website they can go to see this lineup?
Yeah, they can go to, let me pull it up here real quick. It's aclfestival.com. So, and you'll be able to see the lineup there, and you also can look at, like, years past. So that way you can kind of comp, like, how's this year compared to last year, all the way back several years, which is kind of a cool feature. So you can look back and see, how some of the undercard acts, like 21 Pilots and people like that, like, used to play on the undercard, and now they're, like, you know, headlining stadiums and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to see that.
Awesome. That was www.aclfestival.com. So basically ACL Austin City Limits Festival.com. It's time for us to move on to highlighting our site now, which is www.altreview.com. The first highlight, we have an artist spotlight and advance review that will be dropping on, or did drop yesterday as you're listening to this. It is Lucette that Michael will have an advance review, an artist spotlight for, and again, that drops Tuesday the 14th, so as you're listening to this show, that dropped yesterday. Go check it out.
Super strong album, super cool artist. Definitely check it out. Worth your time.
All your time. Go, yeah. Go do it.
Yeah. Also, another piece that we want to feature is another artist spotlight that we did with Halos, who is a fantastic act. That posted on Friday, May 10th. So go check that artist spotlight out. It was a fun interview that we did with them. So go check it out.
All right, there you have it. One more show in the books. We are up against it on time. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy week to listen to us ramble on about alt music. I am GP. That is Mike Latorre. We are Alt Review. Be good or be good at it. We are out.
All things alt, always.